I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Before we get into the episode today, I want to give a quick shout out to Twin Strangers Productions and their sci-fi horror adventure audio drama, Syntax, the fourth season of which is coming soon. Syntax is a fantastic show that smashes together science fiction, cryptids, speculative biology, and my personal favorite, linguistics. It follows the story of Silas as he works to translate an ancient text, hoping to find clues that will help his team of six understand the mystery of the breaches. If you enjoy Annihilation, as in the book, not the concept in general, or the Stargate TV series, I think you'll really love this story. Season 4 of Syntax is releasing in April 2024, making it the perfect time to start listening. Syntax is streaming now on all major podcast platforms. Visit syntaxpodcast.com, that's Syntax Podcast, all one word, for more information. Know the depths. Wish for more. I've just put down a general, like, best worst story, and this is more just like if you have a story that springs to mind.
Well, I could have a lot of stories that spring to mind. I don't know if there'd be any. It'd be any good.
Well, the best. Well, I've, let me have a look. I did write something down.
What's the first one that jumps into your mind?
My first dead body. Well, it was first year nights. I'd managed to get through 20 weeks of ward work without a dead body. So first year nights, so this would have been, yeah, so this was my third ward, and it was a medical ward. Yes, it was a medical ward. It was the diabetic ward, and it was 2 o'clock, and you have to go do your rounds. So staff nurse had sort of detailed me off to go want to do one of the six bedded bays. So you go around taking the pulses and things, and I sort of got to this gentleman in the six bedded bay, and he had what they have called cot sides, because obviously he must have been falling out of bed. So the cot sides were up at the side, and he was sort of like half over the cot side, and I can still see it. Yeah, it sounds terrible. His false teeth were just sort of hanging sort of in his mouth onto his bottom lip. And he just had a funny colour. I mean, it was dark and it was just a funny colour. And I thought, I went to take his pulse. And of course, I couldn't find a pulse and he felt quite cold. So I was sort of, I got a bit giggly. And I went and got the staff nurse and I said, I can't remember the guy there. And I said, I think he's died. And of course, I was, and the night sister came on. So she'd asked the staff nurse, she said, well, you know, what's the nurse Berry laughing about? And, oh, well, she's just found the gentleman who's died. So she took the staff nurse to one side and said, can you please tell your student nurses not to laugh when somebody has died? So the staff nurse explained, what's our first one? And I think she's a bit hysterical. So yes, I can still see him, yeah.
That leads into a question that I've kind of scribbled down before the call, but about the sort of sense of humour, that very much the gallows humour. There is a very specific sense of humour that you find with people that work in medicine. You kind of develop from working.
You have to, because if you got too involved and too emotional, you wouldn't be able to do the job.
Medicine, the sort of medicine I deal with in respiratory medicine, is really not a nice specialty, because we get lots of people with lung cancer, we get lots of people with end-stage lung disease, so quite a few people die. So, you know, we get to know patients quite well, and then inevitably they will die.
You're there to help the patients. You're there not to empathise, yes, but not. It's hard to stay, a lot of the time it's hard to stay emotionally detached. But you have to. You have to be able to and see it for what it is.
I know my mortality rate on the inpatients is 3%. But that's the same as all respiratory physicians. It's a specialty where it's miserable. The patients are really sick. The patients are in dire straits. Also, they're probably the poorest of the people. And the way of coping with that is to develop a morbid sense of humour. And to find things funny which other people don't find funny.
It can sound quite cruel, I suppose, but it's not that we're being disrespectful or anything. It's just that that's the way to cope. And funny things happen, you know. If you saw it in a film, you'd laugh your head off at some of the things.
But it's a way of coping. It's just the way we're trained. You know, when I was a medical student, we were taught this sort of sense of humour, and it was just the sense of humour that we learnt from our seniors. And it's just a coping mechanism, and it's good fun.
But, you know, it's always respectful, but there's just funny things that happen.
If a group of medics go out for dinner, they'll always, you know, nobody worries about talking about diarrhoea when they're drinking, you know, soup and, you know, you know, if you have like watercress soup and you say, oh yes, I put a chest drain in somebody and got something out of their chest that looks like this. And nobody thinks anything about it, because it's, you know, it's just a fact of life. Gore, blood, gore, horrible pus, it's just part of life.
Another one was a lady in a cubicle who just died next to the nurse's station. The cubicle was next to the nurse's station. I can't remember what had been wrong with her, but anyway, as I was talking to her, she just faded away, and she seemed to have given her last breath, checked her pulse and everything, she was dead. So I came out, and then I went back in for something, and then there was this next breath. Oh my gosh, she's still alive, and I'd already phoned the doctor to say she'd died, and I thought, gosh, this isn't going to look very good at all. So I went back in and I was checking her pulse. And I thought, she still hasn't got a pulse. And I thought, you know, saying the lady's name, so, you know, are you all right? And nothing, absolutely nothing. So the doctor arrived on the ward, and then there was such a thud. Oh my gosh, she's woken up, she's fallen out of bed. So that was the first place I looked. But of course, it wasn't her, she was dead. It was somebody else further around in the ward. And of course, the doctor comes on and he says, well, is she dead? I think so. You know, I mean, an experienced staff nurse in charge of the ward doesn't know if a patient's dead or not. I think that's all my death and dying ones.
Best story. I think I've got a couple of good stories.
Okay.
The best story was a story when I was a senior house officer at the General Hospital in Newcastle, and I'd admitted a man slightly confused, and he absconded from the ward. So the General Hospital used to be on something called Westcote Road. So I rang up the police and said, one of my patients has absconded. And he said, right, okay, so what's he look like? So I said, well, he's wearing blue pajamas and he's got a flat cap on. So he said, right, we'll find him for you. So then they ring back an hour later and said, have you got any more details? So I said, why? He says, well, there's two gentlemen in pajamas and flat caps walking up and down Westgate Road. I said, ah, right. And then, guess what? The man turns up. So he'd actually been found in the fire station, because the General Hospital was opposite the fire station. So the guy had actually walked across the road and was picked up by the fire brigade. So in fact, there was three people wearing pajamas and flat caps on Westgate Road that day. Another really good story. So I was as house officer, and before, normally what would happen was you'd have tea and coffee with the nurses at about midnight after they'd done the ward round. So, you know, you'd sit down with the nurses, they would go through the patients, and we'd write up the drugs, we'd write up the fluids and all that sort of thing, making sure all the patients were settled down for the night. And usually I'd have a cup of tea and coffee. Anyway, so I had my tea and coffee before I went to bed. And about 6 o'clock in the ward, and the nurses rang me up and said, are you all right? I said, yeah, fine. And anything happened during that? I said, well, not really. He said, did you have to go to the loo? I said, yeah, I had to get up about 6 o'clock to go to the loo. And they just giggled because they'd put a load of diuretic in my coffee. So they put this load of diuretic in my coffee. So I thought, right, okay, I'll have to get you back. So about two or three nights later, I thought, yeah, I'll get you back. So they were now paranoid because they knew I was going to try and get them back. So when they were making the tea and the coffee, they emptied the water out of the tea, put new water in, they'd wash the cups out. What they didn't realize was I'd actually put the furosemide in the milk. So they ended up going to the loo every about an hour or two. So these are the sort of things we used to do in the 1980s. You used to sort of basically poison your colleagues with diuretics and yeah. So we used to do these things.
Before we get into the episode today, I want to give a quick shout out to Twin Strangers Productions and their sci-fi horror adventure audio drama, Syntax, the fourth season of which is coming soon. Syntax is a fantastic show that smashes together science fiction, cryptids, speculative biology, and my personal favorite, linguistics. It follows the story of Silas as he works to translate an ancient text, hoping to find clues that will help his team of six understand the mystery of the breaches. If you enjoy Annihilation, as in the book, not the concept in general, or the Stargate TV series, I think you'll really love this story. Season 4 of Syntax is releasing in April 2024, making it the perfect time to start listening. Syntax is streaming now on all major podcast platforms. Visit syntaxpodcast.com, that's Syntax Podcast, all one word, for more information. Know the depths. Wish for more.